Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. We are positively into that holding period here where not just will they not play football this weekend, but I didn't understand the CBA mandated that the Ravens will be taking off over the weekend. So guys will be flying off to Saint somewhere, as they'd like to say, and then reconvening next week for football. But before that, there were. The Turk came. That's all I can say. There were cuts. Luke Jones is here. He brought it all to you on our WNST tech service, brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Checking in on the GBMC hotline. What is up, my dude? A little bit of downtime here, a little Kyle Bradishness, a little Labor Day, maybe celebration over the weekend. And then next week, go time, right? Like, this is sort of the last exhale for you and me before it's go time.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, the initial 53-man roster has been set. We can get into that a little bit. Nothing earth-shattering, but certainly some good stories with three undrafted rookies making it. As I had told you, and as I had predicted at BaltimorePositive.com, I had two of those. I got 52 of 53 on my final projection, so not bad. But
I never doubt your ability to read Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh's mind.
well, honestly, it's more so just you pay attention to practice. I mean, if you're going to be out there, you pay attention, right? I mean, that's kind of how it works. But yeah, this is their last exhale. You know, it's a mini bye weekend. You know, I believe I think the CBA mandates 3 days off. They're getting Thursday through Sunday off. They'll be back in the building Monday, and it'll be game week, right? I mean, they'll be talking about, and they've already been preparing for the Buffalo Bills. You always know when it's late in training camp and they're starting to transition in the regular season mode. Obviously, the roster cuts, but you'll see the one of the assi lower assistants on the totem pole holding up the cards, right? When you see the defensive huddle and they're holding up a card, I'm just holding up a roster right now if you're watching us on video, but. That scout team stuff. When you see that, you know they're running scout team stuff at that point in time. Oh, they're giving you the Bills defensive looks as they're starting to prepare for week one. So we've gotten through three fake football games. The initial 53-man roster has been set. We'll see what happens in terms of the practice squad. If they claim anyone off waivers, is there a, I don't know, is there an outside linebacker that plays really good special teams that shakes free that is appealing to them. Is there another offensive lineman that they liked from somewhere else that shakes free? That doesn't happen too often, but it could happen. So we'll see how that plays out. But the roster is pretty much set. As I said, not too many big surprises. I think Jalen Armour Davis being waived was the biggest surprise, but off injured corner. In the final year of his rookie contract. That is a vulnerable combination of circumstances there. And he ultimately was cut. But, you know, overall, when you have a deep roster, when you have a roster that is as well regarded around the league as the Ravens is right now, where I think if you hold 10 to 15, I don't know, executives, head coaches, whatever around the league, I'm guessing quite a few would say the Ravens have the best roster, either them or Philadelphia. I think would probably be at the top of the list for most people. So no big
And we would
shocks
say
about.
when healthy,
Sure.
right?
Well, and that applies for everybody, right? I mean, everyone has to stay healthy. So that's a big part of this. But going into week one, the roster for the most part is, you know, a few guys banged up, but I don't think anyone that's going to miss week one other than Likely. And I'll be remiss if I didn't mention Isaiah Likely did not go on IR. So that tells you they're hoping he can play at some point here in the first 4 weeks. I don't think it's going to be week one based on seeing him. You know, he was on the practice field a couple of days ago and you can tell he's walking like he's out of the boot and all that, but he doesn't look like someone where he's going to be playing football in 10 days, right? I mean, it's not quite at that level. So I'm guessing that's more of a later in September kind of thing for him. But he avoided IR and they have their 53. They're going to break up here as they get into, you know, conclude Wednesday's practice and have a few days off to exhale and then refocus, right? I mean, all training camp, that monotony and that everyday kind of hurry up and wait mentality finally goes out the window, and it'll be Buffalo week when they get back to Owings Mills on Monday morning.
I don't want to do next week's show this week, but we could do last week's show next week. We talked a little bit about this earlier in the week about that Buffalo game, and that sometime between now and the next time you and I speak, certainly by the time they play next week, you will have seen that on NFL Network. If you watch ESPN, if there's any preview of the game, you're going to see the drop, you're going to see the fumble, you're just going to see all of that all over again on that cold night. As they go, as we're 2 weeks out on this or a week and a half out on this, what is your largest concern of Bills, Ravens, Sunday night, that game, this game, winning the game? We'll break down other parts of it. But as you look at it at 50,000 feet, I have said out of the gate, and this is a general September question for the first quartile. I'll use some Billick terminology, even though it's not really a quartile when they play
You got
17.
17, right?
Yeah, it's a quartile minus a quartile. So, yeah. Somebody teaches math will teach me that. But veterans for me, obviously you need to see how Lamar looks. And but then after that, Derrick Henry, Mark Andrews, Ronnie Stanley on the offensive side. Defensively, I need to, there's a lot I want to see. Matt Ebike living up to the contract, Roquan Smith living up to the contract, seeing where he is on the age timeline, and then the back end of Kyle Hamilton, how they're going to play, how they're going to mix that with that special sauce that he has as roving safety into the mix and utilize that to maybe pick a ball against Josh Allen and win. And then Marlon Humphrey, just how veteran legs are looking early in the year, because these guys should be spry, right? I mean, in a general sense, they haven't played, they're babied, they're candied, they're bubble wrapped, all of that here this time. They should be fit. But they haven't taken a lot of hits. They haven't taken a lot of abuse. They've all been measured for weight, body fat, strength, speed. They know the playbook. I get all of that. Then you got to go out and you got to be young again. You know what I mean? You got to be at your best, whatever your best is. And there's always some attrition with older guys as the season wears on. If you think about like an Eric Weddle or even Steve Smith, some of those guys that aged in the end of the year, where Ronnie Stanley is on Thanksgiving, where he is on Christmas, some of these really key guys, Marlon Humphrey's another key guy, Roquan, key guy, Derrick Henry, no bigger key other than Lamar. So that's my totality of aging for this. That's what I'm keeping my eye on. But the Buffalo game specifically for you, what worries you and what do you think you need to see next week in Buffalo?
I mean, just to address your point, I mean, some of the guys you mentioned aren't that old, right? I mean, now Kyle Van Noy, absolutely valid. Ronnie Stanley is on the wrong side of 30. Not that he's 36, but we also know the a very extensive injury history, specifically with the ankle. So, yes, there's some of that, but my specific concern as it pertains to Buffalo coincides with that slightly. In the sense of, if you think back to how that game went, obviously the Ravens turned the ball over three times. But what was the one thing Buffalo was able to do that was surprising in that football game? It was how they ran the ball against the Ravens, right? So, not, and the Ravens had a fantastic run defense last year. We all know that. But you are replacing Michael Pierce, who, was obviously your run-stopping nose tackle. And look, I mean, Michael Pierce missed some games last year, so it's not as though this is foreign territory for them in that regard. But you do have that piece of it, and you covered this. Their veterans haven't tackled anyone all summer, like truly tackled someone all summer. And we've talked about this as a league-wide issue, as fewer and fewer teams are playing their starters in the preseason. We've seen it here in recent years. Tackling does suffer around the league, I think, if you look at weeks one,
Well,
two,
getting
three.
an angle, the
Yeah.
speed of the game,
I think
like
the ra I
all of
think
that,
I think
right?
wrapping up and bringing them to the ground is, as much as any of that stuff, I think that just the literal act of doing that
Well,
is
you'd hope that
something.
Derrick Henry could take advantage of
Well, no
that.
question. And right. I mean, absolutely. But Buffalo ran the ball on them last year. And especially, that first half when Buffalo was able to take advantage of turnovers and built the lead that ultimately held up for them, thanks to Mark Andrews dropping the 2-point conversion pass. They were able to control the clock a little bit more. And look, I mean, it's not as though they absolutely gashed them. We're talking about 147 rushing yards on 36 carries. It was 4.1 yards per carry. It's not as though James Cook was popping off 8 yards a clip, right? I mean, it wasn't anything absurd, but if you're talking about a week one game on the road, James Cook got paid, had his hold in or whatever you want to call it at the start of camp, but they paid him. So he should be good to go. Josh Allen, we know what he can do running the ball, just like Lamar. Not exactly the same, but can burn
More
you,
like more
right?
like Derrick Henry, more like a
Yeah,
linebacker.
I mean, he'll run through you more so. Lamar runs around you and away from you. Josh Allen, I mean, we've talked about Lamar taking too many hits. I mean, Josh Allen encourages it. He delivers the hit, being the big guy that he is. So, I think just in a general sense, that's probably something as I'm looking at this in the early stages, and we can get more specific into it as we get closer and closer to that day. But yeah, I think that would be my general concern going into it. But you made the perfect point. The Bills are saying the same thing about Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, right? I mean, their starters haven't necessarily, and I know they played, I think they played their starters, at least somewhat. In the summer, but not a lot. I mean, even the teams that play their starters now, it's not like it was 15 years ago where you'd say quarter, half, and the third preseason game, they might play 3 quarters. Like, I mean, no team is playing their starters that much anymore. I mean, you're talking about a couple series here and there at most in most cases. So that's absolutely two teams that want to run the football. Who tackles better? It's such a simple thing. It's just like saying, I mean, you could talk about the turnover battle in every single football game that you see, right? I mean, when you hear a commentator say that, that tells you, well, they don't really have anything original to say about the game. But I do think this is a little more unique in the way that both these teams love to run the football, and you have two defenses that, they don't tackle in practice to the ground the way that they did 30 years ago. They don't play very much in the preseason or at all in the Ravens case, when you're talking about there's other than Trenton Simpson and Malachi Starks. I mean, you think about their starting defense that'll be out on the field on Sunday Night Football in less than 2 weeks now. You're talking about Madubuike didn't play in the preseason. Travis Jones didn't play in the preseason. Broderick Washington didn't play in the preseason. So your D line, John Jenkins played very sparingly. Aeneas Peebles did play a good bit, so there you go. But he's your sixth round rookie. He's the last guy in that rotation. So you're starting linebackers. I mean, Roquan didn't play, Van Noy didn't play, Oweh didn't play, Tavius Robinson didn't even play. So that level of the defense, only a couple guys. And then in the secondary, like I said, Malachi Starks is real. Out of the guys that are going to play in that secondary, Malachi Starks is the only one who played at all in the preseason, and he sat out the last game. They held him out entirely in the third game, which I think was smart because, what else did you need to see from him? So that's my concern as far as, like, other than just, hey, the Bills are really good, the Ravens are really good. It's two AFC heavyweights going at it, right? I mean, may the best team win on Sunday Night Football to open the season. But you don't want to be shell-shocked in terms of not being ready for the physicality. And that lends itself to the point you were making. Not that the Ravens have all these old players. I mean, yes, Roquan Smith's a veteran. He's 28. He's not 30. This isn't Ray Lewis in his age 36 season. So,
It certainly felt to me, and maybe to some of the fan base, like it was a slowdown for him, that he does
yeah,
not
I mean,
look like an emerging
let me be
28
clear.
year old Hall of Fame linebacker.
Let me be clear. He needs to be better. There's no doubt about that. I wholeheartedly agree. Now, there was a lot going on that I think was conspiring against Roquan Smith,
Patrick
looking like
Queen
Roquan
leaving.
Smith. You had Trenton Simpson, who we saw what they thought about him last year. They benched him after the bye week, and he didn't even play on defense down the stretch. And you had the safety mess, right? I mean, think about all those over routes that, those 20-yard dig routes and things like that that just killed them because their safety play was a disaster through the first 10 weeks last year. I think when you saw them make the changes, you saw a better version of Roquan Smith down the stretch. Now, was it peak? Was it all elite, all world? To the degree that we saw maybe a couple years before that, no, I agree with you. They need more from him as a $20 million linebacker. If they don't see more from him, then I'm not saying he's cut, but you're starting to have value concerns about where he is. So yeah, you want to see that, and but I think my other area that I'd be a little concerned about is, just how much time Jaire Alexander missed over the summer, and Chidobe Awuzie. Am I surprised by that? No, that's why you were able to sign those two guys for a combined, what, $5.5 million. However, how much of that was being careful, and how much of that is there some actual legitimate concern about Alexander's knee, right? I mean, so I'm all for slow playing him in August, but you got to turn it on, right? I mean, you got to go play football. And that applies for any of these guys that have missed practice time over the last few weeks. So,
And I think around the league, we'll start seeing this on Thursday night. The general sloppiness,
yeah.
in the same way that any time, and you're an old college football fan like me, whether it's Penn State, Maryland, whatever it is, Maryland would play Kent State or they would play West Virginia early, or they play somebody. They usually play the Little Sisters of the Poor, playing
Yeah.
Robert Morris or something. But they play that kind of game, and you get all your sloppies out
Yeah.
early in that. Preseason. Now, there's none of that in college football anymore. I mean, the game's changing all that, but the resting part of the NFL players, it really is a weird box of chocolates next week. And always there's some team that gets their ass kicked that winds up being a good team. The Ravens last year
Yeah.
were that, right? I mean, so starting season 0-2 and
Yeah, I mean,
coming
they
out
didn't
of the
get their
gate
butts
not
kicked,
looking
but
so
they
good.
lost 0, they were 0-2, no question. But
Well,
yeah.
but I mean, I remember some Steelers teams just getting freight trained on opening week. You're like, oh my God.
I think of the
And
Patriot. Do you remember the year the Patriot, what was that? 0-3. What was it? I'm trying to think who they was it, they parted, I think it was with Lawyer Malloy. He wound up with Buffalo. I think it was Lawyer Malloy. And the Bills just, I mean, they stomped them. Patriots won the Super Bowl that year, but week one, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's always that
it's not
unknown.
a true look at the league. And for everybody out there that
Weird.
gambles on this or whatever, okay, man, there
Yeah.
are no comparables. I don't want to hear any. There's no comparable in this. This is the last game from last year for this team in the same place. There's no comparable to
No.
cold last year at night versus whatever this is going to be next week versus the players versus the health of the players versus, to my point, how none of these guys should be fatigued. And I hope none of them get arrested this weekend either. I will point that out. That goes across the league. Somebody's
League-wide,
gonna
yeah.
get a call. The cops are gonna be involved somewhere. 32 teams in the league, 32 times 53. It's about 1,700 guys. Somebody's gonna have the cops called on them this weekend. You got to make sure it's not you or your team or your locker room, or your security guards. So, but in this particular case, I would say. To know anything about the league next week, if you think you like the Commanders last year and you should bet on them this year, this is my first, 1-800 gambler, get some help because, like, hey man, I don't think there's any way of knowing what we're going to get next week. And that makes it more exciting, I think, from a
Sure.
fan's standpoint, that we used to base things on the preseason or what we saw in that very important third preseason first half. And hey, Flacco didn't look so good. Running game didn't look so good against the Rams or whatever we used to do around here. We don't have any of that. We have what we have right now, which is going off of last year's track record, going off what your eyes have seen on a practice field, but also knowing like what you've seen on a practice field has been flag football.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that unknown, and that's why this game's so important, and we'll talk about it in a few weeks when they go to Kansas City, right? It's really important. Now, if they go to Buffalo week one and they win, look, you love it because you're 1-0. You love it because that's a head-to-head tiebreaker advantage that you have over the Bills, but it's not going to exercise any demons. It's not going to,
You know what would
it's not.
exercise some demons for me? Go to Buffalo and have three penalties for 15 yards.
Okay, fair
Go to
enough.
Buffalo and not jump offside. Go to Buffalo and catch the ball when it's thrown to you. But assignment, alignment, technique, kicker
Understood.
makes his kicks. Like you want to
Understood.
see a crisp version of the game, it ain't going to be that way. It's going to be the sloppiest game of the year for all the reasons we talked about. Real, there's going to be bad blood. There's going to be vibe. There's going to be where the bad guys coming in, there's Lamar didn't win the MVP. There's all of that pregame, pomp and circumstance. And then there's how are you and I going to react at 5:30 a.m. on Monday morning, the 8th of September, as to how they played?
Yeah.
How does Ronnie Stanley look? How does Lamar look? How did Derrick Henry run the ball? Oh, he fumbled. Oh, he scored three touchdowns. Oh, they freight trained him. Whatever it is, you just want to say, okay, they lost 31-28, but they look good. Yeah, they fumbled. Zay Flowers fumbled. Whatever happens in the game, if they lose by a field goal, but you don't want them to have 13 penalties for 158 yards. You don't want the kicker missing two kicks and an extra point.
You want two guys having a season-ending injury, right? I
Injuries,
mean,
right? I mean, so I'm just running through all of the things that could happen because we're already predicting it ain't going to be crisp. It's probably going to be sloppy. It's not pretty, but it's us. There you go, John. I just did the post game for you.
I mean, and look, again, for me, there's not going to really be that much big picture stuff to take away from this. It's going to be, did you win? And if you did win, hey, great. Come December, when we're talking about who's going to be the number one seed, you have that head-to-head tiebreaker in your back pocket. You know, if it happens to be you and the Bills are both, I don't know, 11-3, you know, going into the last few weeks of the season, right? And you say, hey, they won in week one. I'm not sure how much that means in terms of if they play again, but if they do play again, that means they're going to play in Baltimore, right? I mean, so you kind of have that scenario. But in terms of, you know, it being cathartic or like this rite of passage or anything like that, no, because and if they lose, it doesn't mean that they're doomed to lose in January either, other than you might have to, you might be going to Buffalo then, right? I mean, so it's important, but it's also just important in the sense that it's the first game. You want to get off to a 1-0 start. You don't want to be 0-2 like you were last year, where we look, they recovered very well from that. It was fine, other than you were the number three rather than having any chance to be the number one seed in the AFC. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, it's important in that way. They could win by five touchdowns on week one. That doesn't mean they're winning the Super Bowl, right? I mean, they demolished the Bills back in week four last year, and we saw what happened when they played in the divisional round. They lost in heartbreaking fashion. So, but yeah, you have to try to come out as sharp as you can be, understanding that yes, you're probably going to have at least a few penalties. And I'm glad you mentioned the penalties. Generally speaking, that was a major point of emphasis for them this off season and this spring and the summer to be better in that regard. I mean, if there's couple things you could really point to that were not good about this football team last year, I mean, it's not much, right? I mean, even the defense, they cleaned up to the degree that they did down the stretch, where they were one of the best defenses in the league by the end of the regular season, even if the numbers, the overall numbers didn't necessarily reflect that. But penalties, they have to be better in that regard. They had way too many penalties last year, and they need to be better on special teams. And that's not just Tyler Loop, by the way. They need to be better. You're hoping that Lajonte Wester, we saw him return the punt for a touchdown against the Colts. Kid's explosive as a return man, but what does he need to do first? Catch and secure the football, and then see what you can do in that regard. But, they got nothing from their return game last year, especially punt return.
You know, we
So,
get older, but the punt returners all still stay the same age, right? I mean, we get older and we're like, son, and these guys are 21, 22, 23. The ball's going to be up in the air. It's going to wobble around. 11 guys are going to try to take your head off. Catch the ball. Like, and that goes back to any, pick any of these punt returners. It's always the same game, though. And, you know, Ed Reed understood that.
No question. Well, and it's funny you mentioned getting. So this, I'm looking at the Ravens roster. Malachi Starks was born after Jamal Lewis ran for 295 yards in 2003. He was born that November. So as Jamal Lewis is on his way
If
to
I
his
ever see him,
2,000
I'll let
yard,
him know I definitely have socks older than him. I
I'm
definitely
just.
have Get Nasty
But that's
t-shirts
what I've
older than
just
him.
said. Like, I remember when we got to the threshold of players that were born after the Ravens came into existence and after they won their first Super Bowl. Now we're at the point where, yeah, Malachi Starks, yeah, he was born 2.5 months after Jamal Lewis ran for 295 against the Browns in week two that season. I mean, that's what we're talking about. But no, just to bring it back to, I mean, you want to
When we
come
get
out.
one that wasn't born the day that Flacco won the Super Bowl, then we'll have something, right?
I mean, we still have a little ways until then, but yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Well, it's crazy. I mean, think about it. I mean, this is the 25th anniversary of the Super Bowl 35 team at this point. I mean, that's wild to think about that. I mean, it's wild to think that the Ravens now, they're coming up on, the Ravens have been in Baltimore nearly as long as the Colts were, right? I mean, we're almost perfectly at that point, right? I mean, so That's crazy. I mean, the Colts have been in Indianapolis now longer than they were in Baltimore. I mean, I can continue here, or have I
We
done enough
that's
making you?
enough. That's
Yeah, have I done enough
that
making you
should
feel
be the
old?
end. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I mean, it's the 30th season for this franchise, and look, it's not perfect, but boy, out of those 30 seasons, they've had a legit shot in
20 of them.
20 of them. And even a few that you wouldn't put in that category, they were at least like in playoff, like fringe playoff contention, right? You think of the 02 team, you think of
The 06 team.
yeah, well, the 06, I mean, that's the team for me that still hurts. I mean, I still think about that. I was just out of
I bet Todd
college.
Heap doesn't feel good about it
I
either.
was
Kelly Gregg,
just
a
out of
bunch of those guys.
college. I bought my brother, we bought playoff tickets. That was my Christmas present to him. And
I have video of me blubbering. One day I'll post it.
And really, that was kind of the
I couldn't believe they lost. I think
and
that's what I'm
and
blubbering
you know what?
in the
It's
post game.
funny. It's funny because I made this point in passing. I mean, the Colts back earlier in August, they came into Owings Mills and practiced against the Ravens. 20 years ago or 25 years ago, that would have been a massive story. I mean, the Colts are back in Owings Mills. I mean, think about that. It wasn't even a blip on the radar this summer, which speaks to, from a generational standpoint, how far we've moved past those memories. Not that we
I'll
forget. I
be
mean,
corralling the Colts 2 weeks from now from
yeah.
1975
And
at
let me be
Union
clear.
Brewing.
Th
And if
this
I
is
can get Burt Jones and Lydell Mitchell on a program,
awesome.
I don't even know if
No.
George Koontz and Robert Pratt are alive, Ken Mendenhall, but I'll Glenn Doughty, Roger Carr, Sack Pack.
But it speaks
See
to,
how it gets to me 50 years later? You
yeah.
see?
And let me be clear. This is not me saying to the older generations of fans, get over it, because I was the generation that didn't have a football team until I was 13. But it speaks to, from a generational standpoint, how far along we are now. Where, there you go, a Colts butt buckle.
Yeah, you know, I touched. I think I told you this in the other segment because I did some baseball. We were talking about Kyle Bradish, and I was talking about Rudy May pitching for the 75 Orioles, and how the internet is just such a. I mean, I was at Henneman's funeral when Tim Kurkjian comes running up to me, pointing at the picture of my cousin, and the first thing I did was like run to Baseball Reference to see if it was 64, 65. Look at dates, look at games, look at box scores, look at who pitched, look at attendance. You can even get the weather if you want to know. You can know whether Bill Haller was behind home plate or whether Nestor Shylock was behind home plate or Luciano, you know, whoever it would be. I'd done that with tickets from the 70s, but the Colts are this ancient thing for me, dude, right? Like, there's still a point for you where you don't believe I was old enough to even be a part of it, right? People see me out and I start talking Colts-ish and they're like, you're not old enough. And I'm like,
Yeah.
dude, I went to a lot of Colts games, a lot of Colts games, a lot. You know, for a kid my age, it was not a once, twice, three times thing. I went to, I don't know, between 73 and 83, that's 10, 11 seasons. I went to 40 Colts games. You know what I mean? I went to five or six a year every year, all of those years. Even when they were really bad, I went and my dad didn't go because I wanted to see. Don't tell Chris Collinsworth this, but he was a rookie the year that they got the Zubaz thing going in the helmets, the jungle thing. And I went out, I saw Jim Hart play for the St. Louis Cardinals in 1981, 82, strike year. I found my Green Bay Packers ticket from the tie game, the 08-1 season with David Hum. So, like, I remember all of these things, but I wondered if I had my 75 tickets because I was at the Tony Linhart game, the Fog game. I remember the Browns game vividly when they started winning. And this is 50 years ago. I remember this stuff, but I found my ticket stub from the Jets game, November 19th, 1975. And I'm like, well, I know they won because they won every game after September. They were the team that didn't lose until they lost. They won throughout October, November, December. They were like crazy winning streak. And after being really awful, they were like 1-4, and then it is one. They won 52-19. I mean, and Roger Carr caught a 90-yard touchdown pass the first 5 minutes of the game. I remember this. I held the ticket and I'm like, oh yeah. And I'm like, you know what I remember about that game? They were winning 38-13. And my dad said, let's get on a bus. We left early because my dad wanted to get out of there, you know? And they scored two more. They won 52 to 19 that day. It was 50 years ago. And I have a ticket stub. And it means that much to me. But when the Indianapolis Colts come out, they're just another thing to me. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
right.
I don't. I don't even see the helmets the same way anymore since I made peace with Jim Irsay almost 2 decades ago. I mean, it was 14, 15 years ago that I wrote that thing that wound up getting a million views in Indianapolis, just saying I'm not going to be mad about this anymore. And my wife would tell you, unlike a lot of things that I promised I would change about myself and haven't, I have changed that. This doesn't bother me anymore. The tickets, they make me think of my father. It's warm, it's fuzzy. I'm even good with Chad Steele and Steve Bisciotti. Not really, but I'm going to hold them accountable. But like through all of the football history, whatever has happened, I've come to the Jim Irsay mind frame. And I remember when he said this to me when I went for that walk with Bisciotti, and Bisciotti was trying to get the records back with me. Back at the Biltmore 20 years ago, right after they won the first Super Bowl, I guess that would have been 07, 06, 07, in that range. Jim Irsay said to me, listen, and he was very sweet to me, and he began a friendship with me. And he said to me, I'll do anything, but I can't change history. I'm not going to do what Donald Trump is doing to Black America and to the civil. I'm just putting that part in because it's true, but I'm not going to erase things that really happened. I can't erase the history of the moving of the franchise. Now, can we talk about Johnny Unitas's records? Because that's what we were talking about. But like all of that, 50 years of history and all of that, 30 years of Ravens history, and it's sad to me, Luke, being the historian that I am, that you have become, and right, I only got written books on both Super Bowls. Looking around, nobody else, me. I wrote books in the locker room with a real press pass through all of that. Nobody cares. I mean, and Billick would say that, and even Rod Woodson doing the games or whatever. We're past the point where that team matters as much as Mike Flynn and I thought it did on the float that day. You know what I mean? As you age a little bit, the only thing that matters to these kids, you see it, you talk about it. Lamar Jackson. They don't care about Trent Dilfer. They really don't care much about Ray Lewis has entered that Brooks Robinson period where it's Cal Ripken is timed out. Cal Ripken's doing commercials. He's 65. He's there, but is he of any value? Is he going to work? Can he sell tickets? Can he sell bobbleheads? We're going to find out next week. What, you know, 30, it's been 30 years since that. So, like,
No.
this is a nostalgic period, but there ain't going to be 47,000 people and doing Cal. And I don't know that they can get anybody out there. Adam Jones can get anybody. So, I am. These reunions really aren't like the old timers games to you and me when we were kids, where people are warmer and fuzzier about winning teams, let alone the 06 team, which is why the 75 Colts thing here. When I've hit the folks at Babe Ruth about getting Lydell on and trying to find Bert, I have Bert's number, but like trying to find these folks on a Zoom who are 80 years old now, 75, 80 years old, right? Like looking for them. And I said to them, this is, you know, these are young girls that work at the Babe Ruth Museum. They don't know anything about the 75 Colts, and they think of me as a young man, and they're like shocked that I know anything about the 75 Colts. And like that was my first love. And you know what the girls have written to me, because I haven't talked to them. They're like, we are blown away by how much the people that love that team love that team. And the team didn't win. But the 06 Ravens aren't going to have that. You know what I mean? I guess that's my point of it's hard enough to fall in love with the teams you love. They had a 10-year reunion for the team that won, and there's not a parade for them anymore. And that was lost on me in the parades. I thought they'll be beloved forever. No, they won't. I mean, they maybe, but then time passes on, and you're into Lamar or you're into whatever Samuel Bosaio. You want his jersey. You don't want Boog Powell's anymore. You know?
I mean, I think there's a middle ground with that. I don't think
You
the
and I are
2000.
more nostalgic than current
I don't.
people are.
Yes, and but I think there's a middle ground there. I think, first of all, this also falls under the umbrella that I've said to you for years and years. Fandom has various degrees of it, right? You have the people that are very casual that love to go tailgate on Sunday, and hey, Lamar, and I've got a Lamar jersey, but the rest of the week, I'm not thinking very much of it, right? And then you have your diehards who are listening to us on a regular basis and reading on the internet, posting in message boards still exist in some circles, not like they did. I guess Reddit is kind of the new message board. And social media and all that. So, but look, I are we as nostalgic as a society as we used to be? I don't know. You know what? I feel like in 2000, people said the same thing then about the generation before,
I
that the
think
new.
there's a whole bunch of people with red hats that are nostalgic about
Oh,
everything they used to want America to be. They voted 75 million of them voted that way. So those are the people that are there to buy the bobbleheads and buy the history and eat all of that up. But I would agree with you. There are people that went for years just to drink the beer and get the funny floppy hat
yeah.
because they only went that night, opening day and
Well,
floppy hat night and on school night or whatever. And they stayed engaged with the Orioles in a way to at least know who their starting pitchers are going to be next year.
and I would also say that might actually be an argument that the Ravens are a victim of their own success in that way, in the sense that if we were talking about the 2000 team, 25 years now for that, and obviously you've talked about the Colts with 75, but if the Ravens had had a long period where they were, I don't know, like the Jets. I mean, think about the Jets. I mean, you still hear them celebrate Super Bowl III. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you want to talk about something that happened a long time ago. I mean, look how old Joe Namath is at this point. I mean, look at so many of the others from that team are gone. But I think because the Ravens have sustained and been so successful now over three different eras, right? You think of the Billick, great. Starting in 99 through that period, and then Harbaugh coming in, and that was the end of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, but then Joe Flacco and the Flacco era, and they win a Super Bowl that year. And now you have this Lamar team, which championships TBD, right? None to this point, but we would all agree it's still been a very fun last 6 or 7 years. I mean, the regular season's been amazing, but yeah, January is still the legacy. But the point is, there hasn't been a lull like the Orioles have experienced for decades of not having much to write home about, where, yeah, you do have to prop up the past to that degree. So I think in that way, maybe there's not as much nostalgia because, well, there's still plenty to enjoy in the present and the recent past that you don't have to go back as far. Now, they should be celebrated. And I still think there's a middle ground here. I don't think the new generation is completely. Doesn't care about
No,
that
but
at
dude,
all.
you sat
It's
down there
different.
for years during halftime
So,
celebrations and Hall of Fame this, and this guy's
but
going in
Nestor.
there, and people don't stand at attention the way you and I, as fans, did, were taught to be. Thanks, Brooks Day, Earl riding around, Jim Palmer riding around,
Our
just Cal
attention,
Ripken.
I'm holding up my phone right now, for anyone who's just listening. Our attention spans in general have become that, right? In the same way
Sure.
that you don't consume TV in the same way that people, not as many people go to movie theaters now. They just want to watch it on Netflix, right? I mean, so
Well, it doesn't mean they're not making a lot of money in the NFL.
sure. Oh, exactly. And look, I mean, that part of it's not even, that's not even in doubt,
Well, I pick on the baseball team all the time, and we're doing a football segment, but
but I
picking
would.
on the baseball team about this is that they have all those red hats that voted for Trump that go collect bobbleheads and stand in line and do all of that. They don't have the backfill. The NFL has the exact opposite. The NFL has the, I don't care about anything that happened before Lamar, and I don't even care what Lamar did last year. Can I bet on it this week? Can I win some money this week? Can I be into the game? Can I wear the jersey this week? And it's very much here and now because it is here and now on their screen, and Bruce Laird and John Dutton aren't. You know what I mean?
Well,
Like, so that.
but I would also say, and I would say this even from my own personal experience, and you know me, I love history. I mean, I love history in general, but specifically sports history, I love. I mean, one of my favorite things to read about is 1920s era baseball. I mean, I love that. Even go like dead ball era, leading into the Black Sox scandal and all that, and Babe Ruth and but. But that said, to bring it back more specifically to what we're talking about here, I have a reverence for the 2000 Ravens that I can't have for Johnny Unitas. Johnny Unitas was folklore to me. Even the Sac Pack in the 70s era Colts, Marty Broda, and how wonderfully surprising that was in 75. That's folklore to me. I didn't experience it. So about the only individual that I've truly had an authentic reverence for that I never saw play was Brooks Robinson, because my dad loved him that much. And I had the privilege, doing what I've been able to do over the last 15 years, that I got to meet and talk to Brooks a few times over the years. And that was just That was my dad's guy. So, but I mean, I have Johnny U memorabilia that my grandfather gave me years ago, and I got his autograph in 1996 on a Ravens Jaguars ticket stub. But Johnny U is folklore to me. So there's always, when you're talking about generations and the further you get away from that time, there's always going to be some of that. And then
That's
as we
why I love Burt Jones.
oh, so but I don't think it's necessarily that there's a lack of respect. I think it's just in a lot of cases, like you just don't have an emotional attachment to it. Like you could Luis Aparicio, I mean, obviously that's family for you. I don't have any reverence for him in the sense that, that was so far. I mean, at least Eddie and Cal, like I watched, Eddie, even as an Oriole, like I was very young, but I have flashbulb memories of chanting Eddie at Memorial Stadium, and my dad was an usher. So, but I don't have the memories of Eddie hitting the two home runs in Philadelphia in game five because I was 2 weeks old, right? I have a memory of it at
Second one
watching it on
landed right
TV.
below me.
Yeah. So some of what you mentioned, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's not validity to it, but I think some of that is just as time passes. I mean, it becomes folklore. Like the Colts are mythical individuals to me. I mean, Gino Marchetti and Art Donovan, and like I remember them as elderly men, but yeah, I mean, so this is
Ah,
a
30
walk down,
years.
yeah, memory lane's great, but yeah, as time goes on, it's not going to be as meaningful to as many younger people, and that's okay. I mean, I understand that.
All right, I'm getting my 75 Colts tickets out. You get your 96 Johnny U autographed Jaguar ticket out. We'll meet next week. Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens going to play football next week. Luke's got it all handled. WNST Tech Service also has it handled. Brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Any breaking news happens there. We're monitoring the Kyle Bradish comeback. We're doing things around here. Happy Labor Day to everybody. Two things. Eat the gold watermelon while you got a chance. Maybe you can get a little corn and tomatoes still. But you get 2 weeks left on the peach cake. Follow along the tastiness of Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.